What is happening, people of the interwebs? It's Todd Frazier. We are back with another episode of the Do Things Podcast, and we are so excited that you're here because we want to make sure we inspire and equip you to take action. Stop waiting, start doing, burn your plans, do things. All right, today, guys, in this episode of the Do Things Podcast, I'm going to introduce you to the TSTO show. This is the Trending Stories or Taking Over show that I do with my brother Jake Frazier, and then we have some guests come in. And in this episode, we have two in-studio guests. We're going to introduce them to you in the show, but we talked about everything from medieval times to drone delivery service all the way up through Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. So we're going to get into this episode of the Do Things Podcast with the Trending Stories Taking Over show, the TSTO show. Take it away! Dude, all right. So
this is it.
Welcome to the TSTO show 002.
Yeah.
Like, trending stories are taking over, and we've got some in-studio excitement.
We got some guests today.
We got guests. Well, I think more of like teammates.
Teammates is a good word.
Like,
yeah.
Guest teammates, maybe?
Yeah, partners in crime.
Legal crime.
Okay.
Legal crime.
Legal crime.
Right, we don't want to go too far over the edge.
Is there such thing as legal crime?
You know, that's a topic for another day, but I think we should introduce him.
We should do that.
So, first of all, I'm Todd Frazier.
And I'm Jake Frazier.
And this is TSTO show, yeah. Right? The trending stories are taking over.
They are taking over. We can do nothing to stop it.
No, we can't. We can only hope to control it, or at least talk about it.
Right, for sure. Well, I mean, over here sitting to my right today, we have a good old friend of mine. This is Ethan Hedrick.
Ethan Hedrick.
How's it going, everybody?
Let's clap it up for Ethan. Yes.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
And absolutely.
I am very excited for number 5, the Amazon drones.
Don't give it away.
Well, you know what? It's important
then
bleep
it out in post.
It's important that Ethan is here. It's important that Ethan is here because he's going to be able to give us some very, very interesting insight into that
well, because Ethan's
there.
A drone pilot.
That is true. Ethan, tell us a little bit about that.
Wait, first of all, how do you shrink yourself down to fit inside the drone? That's what I want to know.
First question.
A very long process that I cannot tell you about.
Okay, right. Yeah, okay. So. Well, we'll talk about it off,
it's more,
off the show.
It's more governmental secrets. That's what I love to hear. Mm-hmm. That's what I love
I
to hear.
I have to kill you.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't want that.
But
again, legal
but
crime.
Speaking of killing people, and it's specifically in a medieval times
with
setting.
With large swords.
That probably takes us over to Chris.
That brings
over there.
Us to the
nice
man
segue.
To my left.
Yeah.
It's Chris Cody. Let's Hello. Give it up for Chris Cody, everybody. Ooh. All right, yes.
And yeah, Chris, I'm so good with the segues, they call me Paul Blart. Thank you very much.
Out. Yeah. medieval's my game. I love that stuff, man.
That's right. And you were actually a knight at medieval times.
I was. It was a real blast, you know, like jumping off horses and fighting guys with long steel weapons. It was
worst,
a lot of fun.
What was the worst injury?
Of mine or mm-hmm. that I saw?
Either.
Okay.
I want to know your personal one. I want to know your personal one because, like, I can only imagine if somebody's coming at you with a joust.
Right?
Wait, Jake, you know that it's choreographed.
No. Todd, it's, don't.
Well, I mean, to be fair.
You're ruining everything you know, I knew to love.
To be fair. Yes, be fair. There is a certain choreography, as you put
choreography?
It.
Choreography.
Choreography.
Choreography. It's not calligraphy.
No,
it's choreography.
But it's done right, it's almost as smooth.
And it sounds,
you know?
It sounds like by the way you said it, that it's done by like an old man from like, I don't know, Missouri.
All right, boys, now we're going to be doing the choreography
for
the medieval times. Now it's time you take that big old sword and whap that horse in the booty.
That's right.
Is that how they do it?
You know, it's very close, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
Let's put it this way, because it's modern medieval times, right? So we had a corporate head knight, and he would go between the different
Did he wear
castles.
A suit?
No, but he would go around and just make sure everybody's kind of doing the same thing and making sure it's as slow and dull as possible. But
did he always talk in Old English?
No, actually.
Oh, righto.
You know, it would be nice, you know, if he would be, you know, like, we're going to swing the sword and then we're going to, you know, make sure I get a nice stance and block with all vigorously.
By the way, lunch is at 12:45 today. What about the early bird special?
Oh, no. I have to relay that information to corporate.
Yes.
All right, so Chris is a medieval knight.
He is a medieval knight.
And it's good that you're wearing your medieval garb.
Yes,
aren't you?
You know, I always have it on.
Chain mail briefs.
It might as well call it chafe mail. You know what I'm saying?
Chafe mail.
That's awesome. Chafe mail.
Yes. Man. But if you would like to hear really quick about the best injury that I...
Okay, let's hear it. Best injury.
We do have to hear it.
That, so it's really, it's a matter of one being going one direction and another going a different direction. Mm. So as Todd gracefully put it, things are choreographed. Okay. I mean, sorry. But when we do the jousts, there's a person who hits and there's a person who falls. And on this particular joust, I was the one going to fall.
Okay.
So, right, so I'm sitting on the horse. I'm getting myself ready. I have everything ready to go to, you know, leave the horse safely. However, the guy coming to hit me went a little too slow, and I went a little too fast, as it were. So I'm ready to get hit. I don't get hit until very late in the game. And my horse decides, instead of going straight as he should, so I can just jump off and, you know, do a little roll, I'm sitting there on top of it like a pretty, pretty peach, and it decides to turn right, and I go flying off of the horse and hit the wall, smack, and then fall down. At this point,
this is live show. This is a live show. Rehearsal.
This is in the live show. This is in the show.
Did you like hit it and like slide down, like in that cartoon?
Yeah. Pretty much. It was kind of how it happened. And so, and which the satisfying part, if it could be at all satisfying, is you hear the crowd's reaction to these things in the moment, right?
And everyone's going, yeah.
Yeah. You hear the general
blue night,
like,
blue
you
know, night.
So it kind of goes like, brum 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 brum, ah. Oh. And then you hear, you know, running of people coming to me. And of course, I've got a mild concussion at this point. You know,
oh my God.
My head hit the back of the wall, oh, and I'm sitting there like, ow. And he thinks I'm like paralyzed because I'm just not moving. And so he calls for the backboard, right? Middle
backboard?
Of the show. Yeah, backboard. Bring out the backboard. And so. They strap me to this thing and carry me off, you know, and I'm like sitting there. The only thing I can move is my arm, so I'm like, meh, you know, waving at everybody as they
What, like
clap.
Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. after he, like, had his injury when he got carted off and he just puts the thumbs up
yeah,
and everyone
much,
goes
right?
wild?
Pretty much, yeah. Chris is now Odell Beckham Jr. in a medieval chainmail suit.
Nice. Paramedics are trying to encourage me. They're like, they're clapping for you, buddy. Oh, that's great. So, and meanwhile, I'm like, I need to rethink my life, you know? So,
I left Medieval Times 3 weeks later.
And that's the last show I did.
No.
No, you.
Stupid. So I kept doing it.
You hung out for more. Dude.
Yeah. Gotta get back up on the horse.
Gotta get literally had to get back on the horse.
Yeah. Right? You literally got to get back on the horse. You don't let the fear set in.
No, that's not good.
Man.
But I would say that there were definitely winners and losers in the medieval times.
This is important.
Right? Like there is a point where you're like, somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to fall off the horse.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's a problem today because nobody wants to fall off the horse.
Nobody does.
Nobody wants to allow anybody to fall off the horse. And specifically, I'm a little bit irritated. And that's why I wanted to bring this up right now, because this weekend, so Jake and I were playing a game.
It's
together.
Called Escape Room.
It's called Escape Room.
That's all
with,
it is.
With the whole family, right? It was the whole family. It's puzzles. Or it was Escape Room at home.
Escape the Room.
Escape whatever. It's modeled after all the escape rooms that are
escape
huge
Escape the Room.
So it's an actual board game?
It's an actual board game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's puzzles, and you do the puzzles, and you try and
That's
get
cool.
to the end, right? Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Awesome.
Great idea. Awesome. We get through it. We get heated at one point because I'm doing the puzzle right and Jake's doing it wrong.
Totally not true, by the way. I was right the whole time.
Oh. So we get to the end, and we actually make it out. We get through the puzzle. We finished it. We win the game, right? Mm-hmm. We save the town. It was going to blow up.
Excellent.
Well, the way that it's with a board game, there's like books that you open to find out what the story, how the story goes based mm-hmm. on what you do. And the other two options were, one, you escape the room, but you didn't turn off the machine, so it still exploded, and then something is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. The other one was, you don't get out of the room, then what happens? So I'm like, well, let's read those just to see how bad it would have been had we not gotten, you know, saved
right.
the world.
Right, of course.
So the first option was, we get out of the room, but we didn't turn off the machine. You read it, and it's like, well, but you also got all the townspeople out, so you saved everyone anyways. I'm like, wait
a minute.
And
you're like, wait a minute. Earlier, it was like, you either fix the machine now,
or the world implodes.
Right, or the world implodes. And then there was also an option in one of them where it was telling you that if you don't do a certain thing, everybody in the town will die.
Yes.
Oh, like, the, right. one of that, it said that.
Do
in
that,
the actual
or they die.
Or they die, right. It said that. And then what happened, Todd?
So option two, option one, we win, everybody's saved. Of course, that's what we expected. Option two, like, we kind of get second place, But then we still save everybody. We win. Like, that didn't make something. Okay, finally, at least somebody's got to die. Mm-hmm. Somebody right. has to die.
And this is the part. This is the part that's hilarious. In the second option, there's another little thing that's like option C. And it's like, what does this mean?
Oh my God.
Beware of option C.
And then option C is literally, if you do nothing, you have like a glimmer of hope, and it tells you that you need to run out and tell everybody in the town what's about to happen, and you make sure everyone gets evacuated.
And then everybody evacuates and you still win.
Yeah.
There was no losing.
Nobody, you it can't lose this game.
Oh my, I was so mad. I was so irritated.
Wow. And another thing about it is that all the envelopes, like, you open them once, and then that's the only time you can play this game.
Yeah, no, I know that is another thing. I'm like, I was ready, because we got it for a Christmas gift for the family, and now I'm like, wait a minute, like, we can't do this again? Like, now we know it.
Wasted $35.95.
So it is now available on eBay for $35.99. If you want to go check it out now, phrasing.com/buy.
No attention to what was just read off the certain squares at the end.
Right. No. Yeah. That was a joke. It's not actually real.
Right. Not actually. You can still die.
But so that takes me, I think, to the next story that we're talking about, which is actually the first story that we're talking about.
It's a ping pong tournament.
Wait, kind of. I guess you could say it's a ping pong.
Throw up the picture. It's a ping pong tournament. So look at this.
The Democratic debates, excellent. Right? Presidential elections coming, the debates are starting, and last night was the first session of the Democratic debates. And the thing that's hilarious to me is that there's so many people involved. Like, I don't even know half these people. I know Sanders, Biden, I've heard of Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, and Buttigieg, or Buttigieg, or however. But there's so many people. Like, at some point, this doesn't make sense.
Buttigieg is a beautiful human being. I just want to say that.
He's a beautiful human being.
He has a nice, nice look.
He should change his name, though.
Yeah, agreed.
Vote for butt.
But yeah, that's one thing that I do want to know is how do you, even in night one, where it was JV.
The backup team. Talking about, the B squad.
What do you even do to determine these winners?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can have this amount of people.
NBC says differently, Todd.
Well, NBC, what do they say?
NBC
Tell us what they say.
News analysis declares that Donald Trump was the winner of the first Democratic debate.
That actually is the best description I've seen. Donald Trump wins.
I mean, I think.
Well,
I
he
think
is the president.
The president. Like, when you look at this, it's like, how can this be? I feel like this is like the way that game ended. Like, you just, everybody wins. Everybody gets a chance to talk. Everybody gets a chance to try and speak Spanish to the Portuguese audience last night.
It's
crazy. Like, all of them get a chance. And hola, me llamo Elizabeth Warren. Like, that. Seriously?
Me llamo Buttigieg.
Like, you need to, like, I understand it's early. It's the first one. It just really irritated me. And I saw that and I was like, this can't be the way. But the Republican one in the Democrats' defense, the Republican one last time was like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, there was huge amounts of people up there. I think that it was like each person in the Republican debates in the 2016 election, it felt like each of them had a goal in mind, and it was separate from each other. You know what I mean? And this, it kind of feels like we have 20 people up here that are all kind of pushing to the exact same goal.
Well, and there's people that didn't make the cut.
Yeah. Well, there
are
was
you
like,
serious?
Yeah, oh, there yeah. was like nine oh, other people.
Cause they weren't saying the same thing as everybody else.
Like, I guess. Or they just didn't have the right PR person to get
it. Like, we're going to make sure our programs get through. So everybody up here has got to have the same exact thing to do. We're just going to have a different face.
Well, right, that's what everybody says. Like, all the pundits and the correspondents that are talking about this, they're saying everybody said the same thing. Like, nobody had a differentiation, and I think that's the one thing Donald Trump did have in the Republican debate.
He was stupid.
He just called people out and just beat. Mm-hmm. He was obviously the biggest man in the room at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what ended up winning it for him.
It's that personality thing, man. It's if you can have like a public presence about you that matches up to the same standard that is created by media, right?
Yeah.
That is created by, I mean, Donald Trump, a lot of what I believe as to why he is the president of the United States comes from The Apprentice. Like, the dude was
It was his cameo in Home Alone 2, personally. I think that was what got him elected.
Right down the hall and to the left.
His only line. His only
That's
line.
It.
It's
and
so
then he shook
good,
his head.
Though.
It was,
yeah,
it was
and
legit,
he walks out.
It looked real.
Yeah, you're fired.
It looked real.
No, but like, you're fired. But
How
we
much
saw
money
this
do you
guy.
Think he made from that one line?
Enough.
Yeah,
like, I think he owns the rights to Home Alone. So yeah,
does he really?
Probably shift
from that line.
Same thing.
Like, yeah. I want the rights to that movie
in perpetuity.
We'll give it to him. But I think Elizabeth Warren probably has the next best chance if we're talking about that public image with media thing, because she looks a lot like Chucky if we're talking about the new Child's Play.
So she's been reimagined.
I don't know.
Chucky's been reimagined in Elizabeth
I don't know
Warren.
If you, if, I, I don't know. Here, hang on. I don't know if you've seen the new Child's Play like trailers or whatever. No. But like, let's see here, because like, yeah, I feel like I'm right. I feel like I'm right.
Ah. If you did a split screen of Chucky and Elizabeth Warren,
just slap some glasses.
Oh my gosh, you really?
Oh wow. So I just
we should have done that for because that is legitimately hilarious.
Well, let's do that overalls. In 003.
We'll do it in 003, or we'll just I just did it right now. And okay. I just put it on the video.
Yeah.
Everybody can see
look
it.
Look at that. Everybody go. Can so see good. That. This is the new Chucky doll from Child's Play. Magic. Right next to Elizabeth
the
Warren.
The reimagined. Everything's getting reimagined.
It is.
Everything's getting brought back. There's nothing new.
Dude, nothing new under the sun. We learned that from King Solomon.
King Solomon, King the wisest Solomon man the in the Bible, right? But that's okay, true. Everything's being reimagined.
Uh-huh.
Star Wars.
Even Disneyland.
Who's Star Wars in here? Everybody? Are we all Star Wars? I think we're on the isn't? Same page.
Yeah,
I have these guys are like big time Star Wars.
Totally.
Yeah.
I have a carabiner that says R2-D2.
Oh.
Look at you.
What do you have?
I have a...
this is a Star Wars company. Who's the bigger fan?
A Darth Vader Lego who has been eroded away in the Sarlacc pit of my pocket.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know... I'm gonna give you the victory on this one. I'm gonna be the loser because we do need to have a loser. We determined
that
earlier.
At some point, somebody's gotta fall off the horse. That.
Mine is worn too, but it's not as worn. I can still wear this and survive the Clone Wars.
But here's what's more important is that Disney now has the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars Land,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what's more important.
That's what I've always
wondered. Who's the bigger fan, right? But there's a couple things that are happening with this. Everybody thought it was gonna shut down the park. They blacked out everybody. So my mom's a retired cast member and she still gets them for free, and she was blocked out the entire summer originally when this was announced. Mm-hmm. Now we can go whenever we want.
Wait. She's retired
whenever
and can
we want
still go.
Oh, she's got the secret pass.
That's
yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
So I know
the force is strong with her.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Guess so.
But it's like it's not doing what they thought it was gonna do.
No, it is not.
However, it is lining the pots. It's lining the pockets. I'm That's sure right. it is lining the pot too.
Yeah.
It's lining the pockets.
Space weed.
Of space.
Wanna go buy one of your death sticks?
It's called AstroTurf.
Where's the bell? Where's the bell?
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, the space thieves have come in.
They're
taking over. They're stealing all kinds of stuff.
I think the term is smugglers.
But
it's Greedo. It's Greedo and his little green slimy fingers getting all over everything.
I don't know. Ethan, do you know that reference?
A little bit. It's from the Cantina Lounge, right?
Who shot first, Ethan?
Get it right.
See, I assume you know the answer to that. I think it was Han.
Yeah, I think it was Han too. Yeah. I do think it was Han. Do you disagree?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
I'm OG.
Glad we're all there. Just say yes so we can all be with.
I think it was Rey.
But yeah, dude, people are stealing stuff. People are stealing stuff. This is big news. What? Galaxy's Edge is a gift. It's a freaking gift that they gave this to. You can go see the Millennium Falcon. You
the
know
real
how
one.
Cool
is it the
that
real one?
Is?
Is it the real one?
It's the real one.
It's the
it's
one.
Actually
it's
the
one
real
of the
one.
Ones they've used in the movies recently.
Disney actually pried off all the Fox trademarks off of the Millennium Falcon and replaced it with the Disney one. So
had to
it's
get it
legit
registered.
Now. It's legit.
So is that in the park?
Yeah, that's okay. In the middle of, it's like a whole nother land. Like, I haven't been yet. I almost went last night because I'm like, well, we're talking about it. I should go. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, no, the kids, you know,
right.
need their dad. So I didn't go.
So it's a
and they'd probably be mad.
It's a $200 a person gift is what you're saying.
You know, yeah, pretty much.
At minimum.
But,
right.
But see, here's the thing is you get to go in. You get to feel like you're there. Like, this is probably going to be the most immersive experience. This is probably going to kick Hogwarts Castle that Universal has going on out of the water.
I don't know, man.
Death
I
match.
Don't know, man.
I don't know. It's not taking off like they expect. It went open to the public with no reservations on Monday.
You know what, though? I think they did that themselves. They're like, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be monumentous. And then they're like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to stay home.
Like, that's
well, they're freaking me
they
out.
Scared people. Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's legitimately true. As the summer goes and people come for their vacations, because there are going to be people coming from all over the country, probably all over the globe, mm-hmm. just for this.
Oh, 100%.
And it's summertime. So it's going to be crazy.
The people that live in Shanghai that we would like to go invade their Disneyland for certain reasons are going to come and invade our Disneyland for certain reasons. And then we're going to have a Disneyland turf war. And it's going to become this huge thing where World War III is actually going to be fought with plastic lightsabers and just laser guns that don't shoot anything. Thank
this
you. I appreciate
awesome.
It.
It's I like be great. This. When can we wow. go? Let's
when
suit up.
When does it when start? I am enlisting today. Right? Uncle Sam wants me.
Join the resistance.
But for real, guys, like that's the thing. I don't necessarily agree. I think that it is doing exactly what they wanted it to do because people are freaking out. Like,
yeah, that's true.
For example, with these people taking things, one of the things that they're taking is they're claiming it as rare when they're posting it online, right? Mm-hmm. But it's part of the experience of going on to the ride, the smuggler's
the card.
Run.
Yeah.
So it's a pilot assignment card for that Millennium Falcon ride. And there's people that are listing it up on eBay for like $400 right
oh
now.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's something that you just get when you're gonna go ride the ride.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, I think that Disney has fans that will do whatever it takes to feel like they are a part of what's going on there.
And the other thing I will say about this is, yes, people are stealing from Disney. However, I've got a friend that went, and I will not use his name just in case there's any problems with this, but he took a menu from the cantina and he brought it and we were looking through the cantina stuff. There's a $75 beer sampler.
Oh my goodness.
Souvenir
like
thing.
Flight? Like a five like a, beer flight?
Four.
Okay.
And it's like a four beer flight thing with a take home souvenir deal. $75.
$75.
So they're covering the cost of somebody taking a menu. Like yeah. I'm not thinking okay. that they're worried yeah, about
totally.
Dollars.
For sure.
I think and it builds the buzz and it's like, well, I bought one, but I want to go get one myself. So uh-huh. I mean they're a marketing like machine.
Well, yeah. for sure. I mean, like I was talking to my girlfriend the other night and she's like, we should go to Disneyland so we can go to the cantina. And I'm like, I'd much rather go to Rem's down the street and spend $3 yeah. as opposed to like 12. But
or
guess what?
Like 75.
Right. Well, that's just for tasters, you know? But if I want to get
it's 32.
But if I want to get one taster,
it's you can't. They don't allow it. Don't know. You have to spend all your money.
I'll shoot all first. Your money. Okay, I'll shoot first. I swear to God I will.
Why don't I just empty my pockets and be like, I got $12. This is all I have. You okay, know, you can have one. Here you go.
You know who really has to empty their pockets right now?
Oh, yeah, ooh. They do. Moving to the next story.
Yeah, moving to the next thing. There's a couple of really, really big lawsuits going on up there. And yeah. Ethan, you're going to be able to talk a little bit about this one, too.
The
but
737.
737 Maxes. I don't know if you guys have heard much about this.
So we were flying to Oklahoma.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And the week before we left, they grounded all those flights and we were flying Southwest and Southwest fleet is a lot of 737s.
Totally. Yeah.
We weren't on one, so we were okay. But that freaked the kids out.
Yeah, for
because
sure.
You don't think, I mean, you go get on the airplane and you assume you're safe. Yep. You assume you're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's let the people back home know what we're talking about
okay,
here.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about it.
More than 500 737 MAX pilots are suing Boeing over an unprecedented cover up of flaws in the plane's design.
Yep.
Basically, the 737 MAXs have killed 346 people.
Right. Two crashes.
Two
right?
crashes. Yeah. One was like 150 some.
In
was
the last year.
Right.
That's the crazy part.
Right.
Usually they're a lot well, farther apart.
Since this plane hit like consumer, what would you say? Like if somebody's riding on a plane, are they like a consumer buyer?
Yeah, they're a customer of the airlines.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, yeah.
And those people are entrusting their lives not only to the people who are flying the plane, trained to fly the plane, but also the people who are designing the plane.
Yes. Who are supposed
Boeing.
To be Boeing, super smart engineers. Like mm-hmm. Boeing is known for their engineering prowess. Like this is not like dumb people coming up with a plane. Big
right.
thing. Big
right.
deal.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it sounds like when I read all this stuff, which is what it always comes back to,
mm-hmm.
it comes back to dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They had totally. They had inventory that's like, how can we reuse some of this stuff
right.
and then make a profit? Right. And I think that's what the lawsuit it talks about. I hope that profit doesn't outweigh safety in the future.
Mm. Yeah, right.
That's
and
the whole purpose.
I mean, like Boeing is saying stuff like, oh, you know, we're gonna fix this. We're gonna fix it and we're gonna get it done quick. And it's like, well, yeah. I would hope so.
They put out a statement just a couple days ago saying, oh, hey, yeah, we've got it. It's a software thing. We updated and you're fine.
That's super interesting because I did hear that it is a software thing. And I want to throw
really?
This over to you
yeah,
in a
Ethan.
Second. Because what I heard was that they ended up taking room away from the fuselage
yep.
and adding in more room for these massive, massive engines, making the back of the plane heavy.
It's the and counterweight's
so,
wrong.
Right. So the plane would start to pitch and this software is supposed to automatically realign the plane and make it horizontal again.
That's very interesting because there's a whole separate job on the airport field and that's loading and unloading. There's one guy that has a clipboard. He goes, okay, this suitcase weighs this much. Okay, this box of things weighs this much.
Really?
Wow. And they place it out in the plane, and it has to be perfectly balanced. So it makes sense to a certain degree that it is software because there are basically supercomputers in those airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They fly themselves. Yeah. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes sense that there's software, but if engines are flying off, my guess is you probably need to weld something on there.
Right. Well, true. It's a pitch issue. So it's right. And then the thing that I read about the Airbus, the thing that's different with the Airbus version of this size plane or whatever.
Right, because that one doesn't have the same issues.
They've got three sensors. So it's not just one software. Okay. The Airbus has three sensors. So they just went further in the safety, which cost them more money, didn't make them much profit, but they also don't have a lawsuit.
True. Yeah.
So
funny thing is, I believe it's Airbus. A few years ago, they had a bunch of the vertical stabilizers just fall off mid-flight. So they sort of had the same issue with the rear of the plane. It's crazy.
So basically, we're buying a motorhome and never flying again.
Well, like legitimately, Ethan and I are leaving with a couple of friends on Sunday to go halfway across the country. And
it's gonna be awesome.
We were gonna I originally when I thought of the idea with Luke, we were gonna fly, but then I'm terrified of planes anyway, and this doesn't help. This doesn't help me. No, it doesn't.
There are like 7 million working parts in an airplane, which is like 10 times the more that's in your car. And the people that are trained to make sure it's all okay, they don't pay them enough. So they are basically drunks.
It's all the money. And that's what everything comes back to. If you can't pay the right people, if you can't get the right person in the seat, it comes back to the money factor. And they've got to pay the right people. And they've got to sacrifice a little bit of profit now for long-term productivity. Like that's just the part of it. Boom. That was a good bell, Chris.
Yeah, hey, you're preaching to the choir.
That's preaching to the choir. But I think profit is the problem in big business.
It is.
Because that's how it's driven. You got to make your shareholders happy. And Boeing's not the only one with the problem.
No.
They all have a problem. However, there are just some big ones now that are happening, like Coke and Fairlife. If you haven't seen this video, I haven't. Have you watched it, Ethan?
Yes, I have.
I watched it too.
I'm just hearing about
Chris is just hearing about it. Jake watched it. My entire family watched it, and Tammy's like, "You got to see this. You got to see this." I'm like, "I'm not watching it. I just trust you.
Nope.
It's about a dairy farm, right? So Fairlife is
a Coca-Cola company.
Coca-Cola is a JV investor in Fairlife. But Fairlife is a dairy company. They make milk, they make cheese, whatever.
Yeah.
And this video came out. I don't know who got it. Like, I don't know who would have been the whistleblower on this.
They said it was like undercover agents.
Which in my mind sends me directly towards PETA. But
there's all this so we at my house, we are, I would call it 80% vegan. Like, we don't eat dairy and we eat meat every once in a while. And mostly because the documentary we watched was What the Health. That's the one that we saw, and it was uncovering some things. And then there's this entire community of vegan documentaries that are out there that are telling these stories and the things that you see about like the pork product, and then just the emissions from having cows for dairy or for meat. Like it's just crazy. From an ozone, you take the automotive
industry
and it's nothing compared to this. So all of those things, like, I'm already kind of on this train, and personally, it also, when I eat or drink dairy, it jacks me up physically.
We're all a little lacto.
But this confirms another way that says the profit that they're making off of dairy. I don't know if you've seen the Honest trailer for dairy. It's put out by Crack. Did a video on YouTube about the Honest dairy trailer. If the dairy company is being honest, I'm gonna link it down here in the description.
You got to, because now I'm in.
It's hilarious. If you don't think you're eating my goo, you're eating my goo. Like it's a whole thing, right? It's an industry profit thing. But this whole thing with Fairlife, like, they're opening themselves up because of the practices that are going on. Because like Ethan said, you have to pay somebody, and if you can't pay them enough, you get bad people. I think that's what's happening. And not that I, you know, support the dairy industry, don't support the dairy industry. I just don't eat it because it doesn't work for me. However, when you see this kind of stuff happening, it makes you second guess all of that industry because it is a profit center, right?
It is, yeah. And it's weird because where can you trust what these people are saying, or do we just have to go off of what we see? Because I mean, Fairlife themselves are they're talking about how we've gotten these lawsuits, we're reviewing them. Fairlife is committed to humane and compassionate care of animals. As we previously shared, we are taking immediate actions to ensure our high standards of animal welfare are being executed at each of our supplying farms, mm-hmm. which obviously is not the case.
Well, now here's the devil's advocate to it all.
Okay,
what if it's one bad apple?
Right.
What if it's one bad employee, right?
There's always an exception.
And what if they have their policies set up, however, you can't control everything. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm, you know, saying that this lawsuit isn't valid, because it obviously is. We saw the video, mm-hmm. right? And there's probably a chance that there's more than that. Mm-hmm. However, we don't know exactly the details inside and out of that. But you have to also look at that and say, if this is happening and nobody's doing anything about it, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's how monitored are they? Like how much influence do they have on each one of their farms?
Yep.
You know, because it's really easy to sit behind a blue screen in a corporate office and type, we have humane and compassionate ways to care for these animals. It's another thing to be out there and to see what's actually happening to
them. Was that a Black Mirror reference?
You know, it could have
been. You talk in the Black Mirror like this is, I'm feeling.
It could have been. But, you know, we did talk about Black Mirror last
yeah.
week. And I think it's important to bring them back around, because another thing that Ethan is wrapped up in is drones. And drones. So is Amazon. Yeah.
Technology, man.
Technology is coming to watch you, bro. They're going to
deliver your
package.
Scary.
They're going to deliver your package. And then look through your window and be like, oh, they're reading the book that Aunt Martha sent them.
Now, here's
but they already know that.
They do.
Because Aunt Martha used Amazon.
Absolutely. And
true.
Because they've got an Alexa in the room, just like we do. Like, you start looking at this from the standpoint of the connection now that they have. So, wait, we haven't told the story. Like, what is the story?
Basically, Amazon is getting a patent in order to be able to let their delivery drones be used for surveillance. Now, I have
under the guise of safety.
Right. Safety surveillance.
That's how it starts.
Because Ring and them are great friends. They're good buddies. They're trying to
keep Amazon bought Blink.
Safe. Well, I don't know if they're actually good friends with Ring.
No, but Amazon owns a small camera company now. That is in, it's a competition with Ring.
Oh, wow.
So you take Blink, really? You take Blink cameras, you take the Amazon Alexa in the house, you take the drone stuff, you take everything in your phones, you take, you know, like it, Black Mirror is happening. I don't think you can stress enough what you were talking about last episode.
I mean, it is going to happen. As far as technology is going to advance, we are going to have breaches on our quote unquote
privacy.
Right. Because like,
don't like that one.
Yeah. You don't like that one? Here, well, let me explain myself, Chris.
Because no, I think he doesn't like the fact that our privacy is being invaded.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
not you.
Not you.
Oh, I agree with you. Then we're friends
what
now.
You're saying. Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Thanks. People are clapping for me now. Yeah.
Turn that up just a little bit. I want to hear more of that. That's so great.
There we go.
Okay, so much better.
Nice. I like it. Let's get back from that now.
Yeah. Do you feel uplifted?
I do. I feel like
he was
we're
getting,
on the same page.
Like,
I was
Jake
get
was getting really
right?
angry.
Yeah.
I was. I could feel it.
I was going to defend myself.
We needed to defuse the room, and that was great.
I'm like the little Polish guy in the corner that's like, ah!
What do you
know?
You mean
Polox,
Napoleon?
Man.
He wasn't
French. Polish.
He was French.
I will fight you.
All right, so Amazon's drones.
Amazon's drones, according to this patent, they're all going to be limited through geofencing. Now, this is what I want Ethan to talk about,
yes.
because this is something that you have experience with. Yes,
very much. Mm-hmm. So geofencing is basically a GPS sort of protocol that lets the drone only fly in a specific area. Now, the FAA has said drones cannot fly more than 400 feet in the United States. Now, what Amazon is trying to do is they are trying to take over the airspace from 200 to 400 feet for their delivery drones.
Mm.
Currently, it's illegal to fly without line of sight looking at the drone. So Amazon, who has big pockets, is also trying to get the FAA to take away that law. And they're trying to steal the airspace from people like me that want to fly, sometimes under hobbyist law, sometimes for money and want to do real estate and things like that.
Give us an eh.
Bad news, bad news.
So I see this picture.
Yeah.
How big are these drones? Like for delivery, they've got to be big. Like we're not talking about DJI
no.
Phantoms. Like
these
ones, are big dogs.
I haven't actually seen pictures of them, but from that picture, they look like 5 feet, and they probably have 8 propellers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so if they hit you,
dude,
done. You lose a limb.
Well, yeah, and like you talk about, I mean, just from the fact of for it to be economical for Amazon to even do this, they have to be able to deliver multiple packages within one flight pattern.
I don't think that that's going to take a very long time before that's a thing.
Yeah.
Because the biggest limiting factor in drones is lifetime of the battery.
Yeah.
And you can only get about 25 minutes, and that's stretching it. If you hit a bad pocket of wind and you're at 32%, you're going down to 30%. And if you go to 29% on the battery, you're bricking the battery. You can't use it again.
Yeah.
And batteries are super expensive. So once the battery technology gets better, then I could see that. But
right.
I'm really hoping that that doesn't
happen.
What's
your fear bigger than, like, ultimately, what's the fear of this?
I don't know. I mean, I'm always fearful about a company that has deep pockets and is in bed with the government, possibly flying things over our heads with cameras on them and GPS signals. And they also, to fly autonomously over the terrain, they need a it takes a security clearance to get the map data that's accurate enough for them to fly.
Oh, so it has to be government related.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh wow.
It's insane.
That's one of the biggest things that like I've heard with him coming back home is like just talking about what it is that he has to go through in order to be able to get these clearances in order to just even fly anywhere. You know, like there's a lot of stuff that he need, a lot of hoops you need to jump through.
Totally. And sometimes it doesn't work. So you show up on set and the drone doesn't take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
because
then
of the government.
Yeah,
the government,
and that's because.
So, can I get a ding, Chris?
So the reason that that's a problem is because like with the drones, because I've flown a few drones, okay. So I'm like I dabble. I ran one into a barn. That's my experience. Like it's you know I'm not a good drone pilot, but. In certain places, it wouldn't even let me take off because I was too close to a place that's a no-fly zone, like airport specifically.
Airport, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Not to have some person flying in an airport.
Right. Area 51 in Arizona. Have you have you flown over that yet?
Over Area 51? Yeah. No. I've flown
or with you just can't say that.
Maybe. I've flown with in view of a control tower before. While monitoring air traffic.
Okay.
That was fun.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, we had a little radio and we could hear them, oh, drone activity, and they would do a 90-degree turn right over us.
But you can't talk about that shoot.
I can't.
No, he can't.
Oh. I didn't tell you where it was.
NDA.
Yeah.
Well, let's put a pin in it.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, then.
No, but I am fearful
it's
of
a
this.
Big, well, and I think all the things that are happening with the military and drones and like the whole thing with Russia. Or no, not Russia. Iran,
yeah.
Taking one of our drones and
shooting it down, right?
That whole what happened?
Funny.
Okay, tell me.
Because the drone that they downed is called the Global Hawk, and it was supposed to replace one of the best surveillance aircraft that's been used since like the Vietnam War, called the U-2.
Okay,
and they spent like probably, I think it's like $150 billion on it. And that might be a conservative estimate on developing this drone. And each one
on
is
development.
Like on development. And each one is like a couple billion dollars. And they're huge. They're about the size of the 737.
That's crazy.
Big. And they fly, it's called the Global Hawk. They fly all the way around. And the project was not successful at all. So why they're still flying them over Iran, I have no clue.
Do you think okay. That comes
Bush
to my theory.
Bush is still involved. Bush is still involved. Say it with me now.
So I feel like the whole thing was something to try and get Iran to do something so that then we had a reason.
Exactly.
Right?
Because right now, there's a ton of Global Hawks just sitting.
Yeah, that's really strange.
You know what happens when you fly a Global Hawk into a building? Destruction.
Bad things.
That's what we don't want them
bad
to
thing.
Do.
No, that's absolutely. No. Why would you even say that?
Because
we need a boo. Like that's very.
That is a boo thing. That's what I'm saying.
Which
it's like
button is the boo.
That's okay. It's the first time for everything. You're all right.
If we just have a bunch of these just sitting around,
yeah.
Right, and they realize it, and you know they're knocking one out of the sky to be able to do tests on it and to see, holy cow, what can we do with this technology?
Right.
That's a really scary thought.
Yeah. Right.
It only looks at us, but we're Russian. We're going to put missiles on it and some machine guns and maybe some paratroopers.
How did Putin get in here? When did Putin get out of here? Putin, we did not. You're not monitoring our feed.
If I can
on
wrestle
Facebook.
Better, I can wrestle your president.
Wow, that was really good.
So the last thing that we had people comment on was whether or not they, or what songs Donald Trump would listen to on his road trip to Mars.
Oh, yes.
This time is how much money, because not who would win, Putin or Trump, because I think we all know the answer to that.
They would be best buddies and it'd be a tie.
They would just hug. They'd be like, and then they'd go up and be like, oh.
I love
and
you.
It'd be a tender, tender embrace.
I'm glad we got you into the office. Yes, this is good.
How much money would you, the listener at home, pay in order to see Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump versus Vladimir Q. Putin
in the octagon? Oh, Ultimate Fighting.
In the octagon.
That is Joe Rogan involved in this at all?
Yes, and both contestants are shirtless.
Wow. Wait, can they pay money to not watch this?
I mean, they can. According to big business, you can pay money to do whatever the heck you want.
That's a good point. Well, I think it's interesting with all the things happening with drones and technology in general. Like we talked about Black Mirror. Like it's a really strange time that we're living in. And
totally. It's
just going exponentially faster. Mm-hmm. And the thing with like the smaller drones and the hive mind thing. And
swarm technology.
This sounds
like something out of a comic book.
That is an episode of Black Mirror. There is an episode of Black Mirror where like somebody takes control of all these autonomously, like they're like drone bees that pollinate because we've killed all the bees,
of course.
And it's like what Japan is already kind of doing.
They
use this swarm technology. Like somebody gets a hold of it to just like start killing everyone. Wow, it's insane.
And yeah, it's not traceable at all.
That makes me feel really, really good, Ethan. We're so glad that you're here with us today.
Aren't you guys excited to go on a trip now and be like, what drone's going to follow us?
We're safe in my 1999.
They're starting to monitor speed now. They'll fly, especially by the border towns. They'll get you for speeding.
Could you imagine a drone with a PA on it?
Well, I've always seen on the way to either Mammoth or Havasu on 395, so it must be Mammoth, where there's a thing that says speed tracked by radar, and it shows a plane. And I'm like, a plane? That's crazy. Drone makes way more sense.
Yeah. Wait, so
drone makes it way more fun.
The ticket or something?
Yep.
Like,
and the pilot.
Lame.
Just like the pictures in the intersection.
Or when you go onto a fast track and you don't have a fast track. I have done that many a time.
That's not.
We did a toll road with the motorhome in New York and ended up getting a letter mailed, and then like attorneys were like, you need to pay this fine, and we're like, what's going on? So because we were gone for 86 days and we didn't get it until we got back.
Oh.
So anyways, I called them and they're like, oh yeah, no, we get all the time, honey. We'll be good. We just pay the $2 and you're all right. It was great. So just call them. Just call them. But
hey, Dougie, you don't have to go get that man in California. Oh man.
that exactly is what a New York attorney sounds like.
Yeah, oh, okay. Or New York really? Now. I'm sorry. I thought we were still down south.
I missed that memo.
It's like you were distracted by like, I don't know, a random bear coming through the room or
is
something
it time?
Like that.
Oh.
Dude, I think bears are crazy.
Bears are nuts.
But they're so cute sometimes.
Right. Yeah. They're the cutest. They're the cutest of animals.
However,
they're big and they're fluffy.
What is going on here? I don't know. Why are we?
But I don't like the bears.
Oh no.
I don't. I don't like them at all, and I am about to tell you why.
Why do you not like the bears, Green Bay Packer hat man?
I don't like the bears because they keep getting into places where they're not supposed to be. You know? It's just they're everywhere. And this is a new segment on TSTO today that we're going to be calling the Bare Naked Truth, all right? It is the Bare Naked Truth. First off, today we had an exhausted polar bear, and he was just walking down the street.
How do you know he was exhausted?
Because it says so in the article. What do you want me to do? I'm like the opposite of Mike Ditka. an exhausted polar bear is captured after. I'm turning into like I'm from Brooklyn.
I don't know where you're going,
an exhausted polar bear. Now that's New Jersey. Okay, an exhausted polar bear was captured being wandering through the city. It was walking around its little bear paws just on the ground, and all the traffic had to stop, and it was intense. What they did with this bear, I don't know. We'll check in next week to find out what they did with this bear.
That story is not going to be continued.
Because
the person that observed it and was writing the article probably eaten by the bear.
Probably.
Yeah. Got too close.
It's a polar bear, though. They just drink Coca-Cola. Anyway, so then there's another bear. Give me a thing. There's a bear that fell asleep in a home. I don't know if you have the picture. We're probably going to show. Oh, look at this guy. He's adorable. He fell asleep in a wardrobe in somebody's home.
Can you imagine going to open up like, oh, I need another towel for the shower, and you open up the cabinet and all of a sudden there's a bear.
Black bear! What are you doing in here? No, it's unfortunate for the bear. That's what I'm saying, because the bear had a rude wake-up call. It's just a sleepy little bear.
Yeah, would you scream, or would you just slowly back out of the room?
I would open it up and go, oh, hey, bear, grab my towel, and be like, see ya in the morning.
Yep.
And that's what I would do, but apparently this bear was just chilling. It was taking a nap, and the cops had said, oh, no, everybody lock your doors, because this one bear has already tried to break into three other houses in the neighborhood.
What's he looking for?
I don't know.
A place to squat, sounds like.
A place to sleep. He's a squatter bear. He's a tired bear. He fell asleep in a wardrobe.
Why are there so many bears happening?
He's not Aslan. What's he doing in a wardrobe?
That's a lion.
That's what I want to know. Give me a ding. So... The thing that I find phenomenal is that this little guy was able to lock the deadbolt from the inside.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he climbed in there and he's like, I'm gonna take a little snooze. And he locks the deadbolt from the inside.
Okay, that's now brilliant. I'm thinking that was...
He was just trying to sleep.
He's a result of a government experiment.
Oh. It's Bear Man? Yeah. We're dealing with Bear Man?
Yeah.
Oh no, what's his arch nemesis like? Bumble Boy?
No, Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Q.
And
Putin.
For the win.
Nobody wins, ever. So there's another silly bear, and he's crossing the street again. This is funny. It's another one, but this time it's not a polar bear. No, it's a black bear, just like the last time. I would be hard-pressed to believe it's a different one, too, because this little guy that gets in a lot of closets, he gets around. But he broke the number one rule. He broke the number one rule, and I find it amazing, because there's people running and riding cycles and everything. There's a marathon going on, and he just crosses in the middle of the street. But he did what my mother always told me not to do, and he crossed the street in his bare feet. He crossed the street in his bare feet. He's not wearing any shoes. He's a bear. Anyway, so then
if anybody's still listening to this,
there's one more bear story that I'm going to tell you for on my new segment, Bear Naked Truth. And this is about a really, really another cute, cuddly little guy. He's a big old grizzly bear, and he's just adorable, but also he's a man-eater, because the guy that was hiking and he was found alive. He was found alive, but this bear had mauled him. It did. And it left it in he was keeping it as food. So, like, you know how when you go out and you go to,
it
like...
It was in the bear's cupboard?
Yeah.
We've changed roles now.
So, you know how when you go out and you go to, like, the Lazy Dog and you go and you get, like, one of those sandwiches that has the cheese sauce on it? I never cared much for the cheese sauce. I always tell him put half on it. Half of what you would normally put on it. Because the normal amount is just too much. But it's like when you eat that and then you're too full from your sweet potato fries. So you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this moment. So you get a doggy bag, right? So you take it home. That's what this bear did. He just grabbed the guy by the back of the neck and by the nape, and he just wrung him around a little bit, and then he left him. He just left him in his cupboard because he wanted to make a nice little flambé with his
save it for later.
A man's smoothie.
He wanted to have some man dessert. Anyway, that's it. That's another cute little bear. And this has been the Bear Naked Truth. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
that was fun. That was
I hate bears.
Dude, bears are legit, like,
they're
scary.
Smart.
Like,
terrifying.
Have you watched that documentary about the grizzly man, I think, where he went to live with the bears in Alaska, and he ended up getting eaten and his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, audio of it.
Wow, yeah.
Super creepy.
But that's terrible. The audio real or fake? That's what we're talking about next time on TSTO.
It was made by a drone, I'm pretty sure, owned by Amazon. Much. But it was inside a Boeing 737.
And Fairlife was treating bears really, really poorly.
I think Fairlife is owned by grizzly bears.
Is it?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and you know
them
what?
And Coca-Cola. Them and Coca-Cola.
And that's there's right. the polar bears. Actually.
And then there's
polar
bears. Polar bears. And then there's Roaring Rapids at Disneyland.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And that's where the bear is. It all comes together.
Well, this has been a lot of fun
this has
for
been a good
us.
One.
I don't know if you guys out there have had fun watching or listening to this, but I'm really excited about having Chris and Ethan here. This has been
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And thank you for entertaining us with your button pushing. Because you know we need that. We need a little buttons push in our lives.
That's right.
And Ethan, thank you for dropping your knowledge because you just were here to remind me that I will never be as smart as you.
That's right. And so, that's okay. That's wrong with that.
Not
that's
in my not book.
True.
Not
I'm,
in my book.
I'm just a nerd.
No, hey.
I'm yeah.
Planes are cool.
Don't sell yourself out.
Planes are pretty cool.
That's pretty legit. All right. Next time, I'm wearing chafe mail and bringing a sword.
Awesome.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Next time, we're going to catch the guy that hacked the stream and did that bare naked truth thing.
Who is that guy? I don't know where that guy went. He ran in here with Putin and then he left.
He almost seems like he's the polar opposite of Mike Ditka. Did he say something like that? Because I feel like I heard something like that.
Polar opposite.
Polar opposite.
I maybe the grizzly opposite. But anyways. All right. This has been the TSTO show. I'm Todd Frazier.
I'm Jake Frazier. That's Ethan and Chris.
Ethan.
I'm Chris.
And we will maybe all see you back on the next episode. You never know. You got to check it out.
You never know, but I will tell you one thing. It's going to be bare naked awesome.
Get out of here. See you guys later.